the seventh conference on the Holy Spirit, activating the sleeping giants of baptism and confirmation. In this conference, I would like to talk about the sleeping giants that are present in the depths of every one of us who has been baptized and received the sacrament of confirmation. These two sacraments are received only once in our life, because there is no need to receive them more than once. They are like tremendous locomotive that is just idling, waiting to be activated, waiting for us to pull the throttle and to activate the tremendous infinite power and grace that is present and available to us through these two sacraments. Baptism and confirmation are for the Holy Spirit what the Eucharist is for Jesus Christ. These two sacraments are the means by which the Holy Spirit pours forth into our life all of the gifts, both the general gifts and the special charismatic gifts. What then do we need to do to activate each of these sacraments? For baptism, the way to activate the Holy Spirit is to renew our baptismal promises. Once each year, at the Easter Vigil and on Easter Sunday, the whole church renews their baptismal promises. I would like to think of that this is something we do every day, and that each time that we renew these vows to God, to the Holy Spirit, that we awaken this sleeping giant of the Holy Spirit present through baptism and activate all of these gifts that are available to us. In the baptismal promises, there are three negative ones by which we renounce Satan and all of his works. And then there are three positive ones by which we make a commitment of ourselves to each of the persons of the Blessed Trinity. Each time we reject sin and live in the freedom of God's children, we are activating the gifts of the Holy Spirit in this sacrament of baptism. Each time we reject the glamour of evil and refuse to be mastered by these various demons, we are activating the Holy Spirit of this sacrament. Each time we reject Satan, the father of sin and the prince of darkness, again we are activating the graces of baptism. In a positive way, we make a solemn promise to enter into three different relationships of love with the three persons of the Trinity. To recognize God as our loving parent and to be obedient to God as a loving child might be to a parent. And secondly, we make a commitment to give ourselves totally over to Jesus Christ. In that way, to enter into this relationship of a love for a friend, for a person that has come down to our level in the person of Jesus, and give ourselves totally over to Jesus. And thirdly, when we renew our baptismal vows, we renew once again our commitment to have a spousal love for the Holy Spirit, a relationship between God and ourselves similar to that between two married people on earth. These then are the means by which we activate the graces of baptism. And this is something that should be done every day. This should be a part, perhaps, of our morning prayer to renew these promises. For the sacrament of confirmation, the means by which we will activate the graces of confirmation are to offer ourselves to the Holy Spirit, to be used by the Holy Spirit to carry on God's work on earth of establishing the kingdom of God. We can understand what is meant by offering ourselves to the Holy Spirit, to be used by the Holy Spirit to carry on the work of God. If we will look at some of the examples in the Bible of persons who offered themselves to God and were used by the Lord to carry on the work of redemption and salvation, we start with the Blessed Mother. She freely offered herself over to the Holy Spirit to be used. "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." This is a total gift of Mary and of her whole life over to the Holy Spirit to be used in any way that God saw fit. And this is what we need to do. And each time we make a similar offering of ourselves to be used by the Holy Spirit in any way that God sees fit, we are activating those immense powers of grace and confirmation that are always present in our life. Another example would be that of Isaiah. In the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we are told that Isaiah made a visit to the temple. And there in the presence of God, he had this vision of God and the angels. And he heard this, might say, committee meeting going on up in heaven. "Whom shall we send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah answered, "Here I am, send me." Those are words that we could use every day. "Here I am, dear Lord. Here I am, Holy Spirit. Send me. Use me in any way that you want. It is your work. I offer myself over to you to be used in any way you wish." Another example in the Old Testament is in the first chapters of Samuel, when little boy Samuel was asleep in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And the Lord called him, and he thought it was Eli, the high priest. And he went to Eli several times, and finally Eli recognized that it was God calling. And so he instructed Samuel what to say. He says, "When the Lord calls you again, you say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" This is something that we should say to God over and over again every day. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Holy Spirit. Reveal to me God's will. I am listening. I am ready to go in any direction you wish to take me or you wish me to go. Just speak. Just reveal your will to me." If we invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us, if we assure the Holy Spirit that we are listening, that we are alert, that we are open to whatever the Holy Spirit might be asking of us, we can be sure that in one way or another, the Holy Spirit will reveal God's will. Sometimes it comes to us in dreams while we are asleep. At other times, it's just a thought that comes into our mind. Pope John the 23rd tells us that thought of having a council, just something that came to him out of the blue. And of course, he responded to it, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And we, as a result, we had the Second Vatican Council. We also have St. Paul on the road to Damascus, asking again the Lord, this would be Jesus, but we can think of it also as the Holy Spirit, Lord, what will you have me do? This is again something we can say many times every day. Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? Dear God, what would you have me do? We make ourselves available. And just as Isaiah said, here I am, send me. We offer ourselves into God's hands. There are three words that I use very often to express this openness to the Holy Spirit to be used by God in any way that God sees fit. They're the words, anything, Lord, everything. What I'm saying to God and to the Holy Spirit is, I want to do anything and everything you want me to do. I'm open, I'm available for anything and everything. No holds barred. Anything, everything. You can connect this with your breathing. And breathe in on the first three syllables, hold the fourth syllable, breathe out on the last three syllables. Anything, everything. It's a very relaxing way to be with the Lord. I mentioned this and when I was talking about prayer. It's a wonderful way to fall off to sleep at night. Just thinking of these three words. Anything, Lord, everything. These two sacraments of baptism and confirmation make available to us the infinite power of God Himself. By activating these sacraments, we have this divine power at our disposal. And if we use it in the right way, we will be able to change the world. We have the power to change the direction of the history of the world by using these powers that are always available to us. Now, for the 4.5 billion people in the world that have not been baptized, have for the most part have never heard of baptism and confirmation, we can believe and we can hope that God has many, many other ways of giving the Holy Spirit to them, of helping them to be God's partners in bringing about the kingdom of God. We might think of these people that have never been baptized as having baptism of desire. In other words, if they sincerely desire to do what is right, to do what is good, to be just, to be loving, in a very real sense, opens for them these infinite powers of the Holy Spirit. The Greek Orthodox Church, as I understand their teaching, does not see baptism and confirmation as two distinct sacraments, but rather one. And I am inclined to go along with such a teaching. I see that just as in the case of the sacrament of holy orders, you have diaconate, priesthood, and the episcopacy, the bishopric. It's the one sacrament, and yet there are different parts or different levels. I would see baptism and confirmation likewise as really one sacrament. It's the sacrament of the Holy Spirit, just as the Eucharist is the sacrament of Jesus Christ. That baptism is the first step of are giving our whole self by means of these baptismal promises over to God, a total commitment of ourself. And confirmations builds on that, that it takes this gift of self and applies it to ministry, applies it to our cooperation with God, with the Holy Spirit, in establishing the kingdom of God upon earth. It's the sacrament that enables us to be co-ministers with the Holy Spirit, with God, and carrying out God's plans for the human race. We could say that Confirmation is the adult side of baptism. And baptism is our birth into the community of God. And confirmation is coming of age. And therefore, the proper time to receive confirmation is perhaps at the end of high school or at the end of college, when we begin our adult life. That it's our way of making a commitment, not just as a child of God, but as an adult Christian. Whenever we activate the graces of baptism and confirmation, we experience what might be called a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I disagree with some of the charismatic leaders in the church who think of baptism of the Holy Spirit as the way by which we receive the gift of tongues. There are other leaders that speak of baptism of the Holy Spirit as once-in-a-lifetime experience. I think this baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that we are able to experience every day if we wish, that each time we renew our baptismal promises, each time we give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit to be used to bring about the kingdom of God, this is an experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the 8th verse of chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel, John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water, but there is one who comes after me, that he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." This baptism and the Holy Spirit emphasize that we're just surrounded by the Holy Spirit. That just as you would be in a pool of water with water all around you. And so a baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit surrounds us and therefore is available to us to be used by us to carry out God's will. In the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus, on the day of his ascension, told his apostles, "John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." This baptism of the Holy Spirit enables us to do the things that Jesus did. It was through his baptism of the Holy Spirit that he was able to accomplish all of those miracles and great things that he did. In the same way, by renewing our baptismal promises, by opening ourselves to these gifts of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit and now have the same power that God has, the same power that Jesus had to go out and to, as Jesus said, to make disciples of all nations. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Amen, amen, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Holy Spirit." In the 3rd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verse 11, John the Baptist says, "I am baptizing you with water. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." In this verse, John the Baptist compares Christian baptism to a baptism of fire. Later, Jesus himself says, in the 12th chapter of Luke, verse 49, "I've come to light a fire on the earth, and how I wish the blaze were ignited." Fire is a symbol of love. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism of love. We're just immersed in the love of God. And then in turn, we are called upon to go out and spread that love over all the earth. I would like to end this conference with a prayerful meditation on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a way we can use to activate the sleeping giant of Holy Spirit, who is present in the depths of each of our souls as a result of our reception of the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. I will use the four steps of Lectio Divina: read, reflect, respond, and rest. For the reading, I will take just that one verse of Matthew, verse 11, chapter 3. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. On Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples in the form of tongues of fire. This fire symbolizes the infinite love of God, which Jesus harnessed for us through his life, death, and resurrection, and which is now made available to us, especially through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. Each time we make a commitment of ourselves to being disciples of Jesus Christ, either renewing our baptismal vows or offering ourselves to the Holy Spirit to be used as agents in converting and transforming the world into the kingdom of God. The entire riches of God's great love are given to us at baptism and confirmation. This gift of divine love is like a fire which is capable of igniting our human hearts and engulfing our life in the same way that fire consumes a log. How well have I made use of the power of God's love which I received through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation? How many other hearts have I ignited with this fire of divine love? Have I allowed the fire of God's love to ignite my own life totally? What obstacles have I placed in the way of God's love working in my life? How have I dampened the divine fire burning in the depths of my inner being? What changes do I need to make in my present life in order to allow God's love to burn more brightly in all of my thoughts, desires, words, and actions? In this second step of Lectio Divina, we make an application of the words of Scripture to our own life. And we can do this in the way I've just done it, by making a little examination of conscience. We reflect on what these words of Scripture mean to us, and what are we going to do about it. When God speaks, He expects a response. And so the third step of Lectio Divina is to respond. Dear Lord, consume my heart and my whole life with the fire of your divine love. I give myself completely over to you in order that you may use me in any way you see fit. Help me to ignite the hearts and lives of every person I meet today. I am fully aware that whatever good you accomplish through me is not due to me, but to that fire of the Holy Spirit which you chose to entrust to me at the time of my baptism and again at confirmation. May I never keep to myself the gift of love you have given me. It takes only a spark to get a fire going, and I truly possess a spark of your divine love within my soul. The spark of this love is capable of igniting the whole world with the same divine life that Jesus Christ brought on earth. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all over the world. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love the things you love and do what you would do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with you I have one will to live and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, my soul with grace refine, until this earthly part of me glows with your fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so I will never die, but live with you the perfect life in your eternity. The fourth step of Lectio Divina is contemplation, or just resting in the Lord. As Psalm 46 expresses it, be still and know that I am God. Try then to envision the love of God as a forest fire moving down a mountainside. Imagine yourself as a tree or a bush within the path of the fire. Try to feel what it would be like to be totally consumed by the power of this fire. Then imagine yourself all ablaze, igniting many other trees and bushes surrounding you. Instead of resisting the fire of God's love, choose freely to surrender yourself to its heat and to its glory. This is the end of the conference on the sacraments of baptism and confirmation.